Yeah, Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live here at 102.9 FM in Stouffville. And by the way, folks, for those of you who aren't in Stouffville, maybe listening online, want to tell you that this is a great little town. Like, you got to make your way up here, see what's going on, catch the Strawberry Festival that Jay was just talking about, and that and many, many, many other things. There's just a lot going on here. Great town. I was going to say little town because when I lived here a little while ago, it was a little town, but it's not such a little town anymore. It's grown in every sense, and this is a really highly functioning multicultural society that's an extension of the big city way down in the apple, but one with a little quiet country style. So you got to try it out, and you know, and while you're trying it out, and those of you who are up here, help us establish a regular meeting so that we can come together and you know, talk about recovery from life's journey, not necessarily recovery from an addiction, although that spells it out very loud and clear. But I'll tell you folks out there, if you follow the 12 steps of life recovery, you'll live a much better life all the way around. So, you know, get in touch with me, scott@sharingtheburden.ca, two T's and Scott, and we'll get something going. So, Raz, back to you, my friend. Just looking at today's reading in another book that I don't know if you have a copy of or not, but it's Steve Arterburn and David Stoop, same guys who put the whole series together here. They did 365 days. You know, Steve told me when he was writing this, he was going sort of batty after about 70 or 80 days in a row trying to come up with something to talk about. But anyway, this would be the 176th day of the year. In our philosophy here, day 26 of the 6 month, or step 6. So, this is called How Do You Measure Up? And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but a couple of things stuck out really big time for me today. And, you know, one of them was, like, in the first, it says, you know, no one can ever be made right, you know, with the spiritual aspect of their program or with their life. In this case, it says God. And for those who find that applicable, that's great. If you believe in something else, that's great too. But anyway, the law simply shows us, you know, where we're messed up, you know, as opposed to, you know, what we shouldn't do or should do and that kind of stuff. So it kind of reflects who you are, you know, like we'll say our creator came up with this set of rules that we've built all of society around. You know, we call them the Ten Commandments, but from that came the laws that eventually governed most of the world and still do today. And, you know, so when you look at that and you think, well, you know, how do I measure up? And the answer is simply that, well, you don't really measure up. You just find out where you're going astray, where your character maybe needs some work. And I thought, you know, it's kind of a neat way to look at it. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that? Like, just, you know, with law versus who you are. You know, like, when you look at the simple law, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, for instance. You know, you mentioned, like, hugging the pretty girls.
That's not adultery. That's showing affection.
Well, it's funny, we could go on there, but I mean, I'm
my way of showing affection. If they want to come and hug me, that's...
I'm a buff on the on these scripture lines, and I remember certain ones, you know, and it's usually ones that are just good for me to poke at somebody in fun, you know, but, you know, they're saying, well, all you got to do is kind of have a thought in your mind, and you're as bad as the guy who takes that thought and turns it into application. So we won't go into that, because when they flash by me, I like to look at them too, and my wife doesn't like that. But she bears with me, and she's out there looking at good-looking guys, I think, so I'll let her get away with it. So anyway, how we measure up, a little further on, says, when we stop trying to be good enough, to do enough, be nice or righteous enough, and simply live our lives by faith, and faith in whatever, okay, let's not get into religion here, but if we live by some sort of faith, you know, which has a foundation of some sort. You know, I use the Ten Commandments because it's something most people understand, whether they've ever gone to a school or, you know, studied religion or anything like that. So when we stop trying to be good enough, and just kind of live by faith. And by faith, like I say, there's a roadmap for faith, and you can call it whatever you want. Call it the big book that AA uses, for instance. You know, that's got about everything you need to live a good life here. It doesn't get too deep into spirituality, but it makes it clear that without spirituality, you're probably not going to make it. So, you know. So anyway, being good enough, and I guess it comes down to being versus doing, you know, like who you are versus what you do. And I was told some time ago that the most important thing is not what you do, but who you are. So with that, my friend, I'm going to give you the floor for a couple of minutes, and you can tell me what you think about measuring up and doing versus being and whatever it comes out as.
Thanks, God.
Yeah.
There is this thing in... a saying in the big book or the AA programs that it's progress, not perfection.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can measure up to God or any way forever. I mean, it's never going to happen. I like to live a simple life. It's what has been told and what I do. sorry. It's very hard for me. I mean, if I live by faith, yes, I do live by faith, because if it's faith that has kept me alive, mm-hmm. that has kept me sober, that's brought me to this room today, and it is faith that has given me the opportunity to speak to you guys. Mm-hmm. I believe these things are all part of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have faith to have sobriety. Because without that, I don't think it's very hard to survive in this world. Even in the other aspects of human life, if I'm talking besides addiction, you do need to have faith. Yeah, there is going to be bad times and there is going to be good times. Like the last month, these last couple of weeks has been tough. I've been going through a lot of emotions with stuff that I was not really anticipating, and then, you know, I was trying to get my life back on track with work and all that, and everything just started falling apart. Mm-hmm. But it is faith that it is not my time to get all those things. There mm-hmm. is a time for everything, and it's all in God's time. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big person, like I'm not going to go talking about Christianity or religion or a big mm-hmm. Bible-thumping person, but I just follow the simple basic principles of what the Bible tells me to do, mm-hmm. and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. So you could have faith in the support system that you have built around yourself, too. You know, I mean, faith's a big word, you know, like, and it's a good thing we're talking about this, because a lot of people think as soon as you say faith, it means you're religious or something like that. And I can openly state, and I tell it to pastors and other people I deal with, that I don't like religion at all. You know, I respect different parties and different views, but my whole sense of faith is just some sort of connection with something greater than man. In my case, it is the the God of Scripture, but it does not have to do much with my going to some building to sing, to worship, and so on and so forth. I mean, I believe we're taught and encouraged to gather together to do these things, you know, which we do in the rooms of different 12-step philosophies, and especially our own, where we use, you know, biblical principles a lot more than run-of-the-mill 12-step programs. But that's by choosing. That's what we want to do, you know, and that's what works for us. It's what seems to work best in the presence. And that's it. But there's no... So faith is a sense of something will work better if I participate in this or in that. And in your case, in your recovery program, for your whole life, too. And like you said, it's not just about booze or drugs. That's number one, because if you do that, the rest goes sideways. But as soon as you've done that, like you said, okay, you've got almost a year under your belt now, and yet, the last couple of weeks have been rough, you know. And we know after a while that there's always, and they keep coming, and sometimes they get bigger instead of smaller as we get stronger. So, there's no real end to it. So I guess, like this thing says, how do you measure up? Well, I think we only measure up by reaching for that help and believing it's there no matter what it feels like, and then going on and accepting that support system that we built around ourselves day by day and moment by moment. And you do that in your program because you're involved every day of your life in your program. You know, and that's what we were getting at before when I said, well, when did it kind of hit you that you really needed this every day? Like, I guess it didn't come as a revelation, but now you're doing it. And I've watched guys for 25, 30 years now, and that has always been the telling tale for me. When a guy said that, I need a meeting pretty much every day, then I knew that guy was, you know, one of the guys who could make it, you know, so.
For me, it was, let me put it this way. Fear is an obstacle to faith. All these years, I thought, like, I'm talking in my terms of my addiction.
Yeah.
I thought it was alcohol that made me an alcoholic. But that was never true.
Mm-hmm.
It was fear of the unknown, fear of losing something that I did not, that did not belong to me.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is something that you believe in something that you cannot see. I don't know if I'm making sense, but it's my philosophy of the way I look at my recovery these days, or the way I look at life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always got to do with recovery, but what my program has taught me is to have faith in myself, believing in who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I have to follow certain principles in life,
mm-hmm.
because faith without works is dead.
Amen. Yep.
Right? Even in the big book, it mentions, Dr. Silkworth mentions, God, may you find him now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there are so many other sayings in that, that thy will be done.
Yeah.
So why go against it?
Yeah.
It might not be God. It might, like some guys say, people, I mean, in the program say, higher power, fine.
Yeah.
They find something that they can relate to, and it's a spirit.
Yeah.
And they attach themselves to it, and they move on in their life.
Yeah.
So faith can come, you know, not being only religious, but it can come in different other forms.
Yeah.
It's not necessary that you have to be, you know, go to church every Sunday or do these things. Yeah. Fine.
Yeah.
Because if the way I mean, it's just my opinion, if your insides are not clear and conscience-like, yes, then there's no point of talking about faith.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that I'm perfect.
No.
Yeah. I have a lot of shortcomings, and I've done some things lately that I'm not very happy about the way I've talked to people and the way I have come across, and that, you know, that really hurts me.
Yeah.
Something you talk about, if I had to talk about this, say, 5-10 years back, I would have not bothered me at all.
Yeah.
But today I have a conscience. Because that conscience comes from faith.
Yeah.
It's actually more of radical acceptance.
Yeah.
Radical acceptance gives rise to faith. Because once you learn to accept things the way things are, you cannot go on changing people, places, and things. All I can do is change myself, the way I look at life.
Yeah.
And what I want to accept and what I don't want to accept. And that itself sort of reinforces what maybe my faith is today.
Yeah. It's interesting. It brings up another point when we talk about, measuring up is a good word. When we're looking at, you know, our value system, how do we base that? You know, are we performance-based individuals, or are we, do we have a sense that we're connected to something higher, which, in a sense, I believe, gives us the hope that we're going to be able to clear up whatever it is that we're trying to clear up, you know, and I think hope resides in the faith camp. You know, or hope resides in the spiritual camp, put it that way, like something higher. And I can remember when I first came around the programs, and, you know, in those days I was more like a religious person in those days, something I would not appreciate today, but in those days I did. And I was kind of like that, but, I grew to the point also where I think it was a connection that was important. It didn't matter what it was to, but I used to laugh. You know what, I went to a place where my boy was going to try and dry himself up and, you know, clear his urge for substances and so on. It was one of the places we know well. I'm not going to mention it on here. But anyway, he was there, and there was this old dog there. And a lot of the fellas who came in with nothing, somebody would kind of put them onto this dog, say, well, why don't you just, you know, have faith that there's something in that guy there, that loving old black lab walking around here, that's going to help you, you know, get through the thing. And I thought, well, that's kind of silly. But you know what? As long as we're seeking something greater than ourselves to help us through this thing, whether you want to call it life or an addiction or a compulsion or a behavioral mishap, it still works. Now, you know what happens in the after, in the after life. I have great faith in what happens, but do I know? Do I know? Do I know? Do I know? I don't know. You know, but I have what I think is powerful faith. In other words, the hope that it is the way I think it is enough to drive me day after day to reach out in the same way to others and to watch them find that hope and get excited about life, even though it's, in my case, usually guys in prison. So it's, the hope is there, but you've got to have faith. That those two things got to be together, faith and hope, you know, and I don't think you can really have one without the other. Maybe that's the whole thing, you know, is, getting to a place where you see that a little more clear than we see this thing we call shame, you know, that basically says, I'm not good enough, you know. Because if I think I'm not good enough, if you think you're not good enough, we can't succeed. But if we think something makes us good enough, then there's hope, right? So it's that connection with whatever we believe it to be, something greater, and our ability to sort of be in connection with something beyond that helps us out somehow. And we know, those of us who believe strongly, without that help, I don't know how we'd survive. And it's all faith. But I like the way you're talking about faith in your program, just the way it works, and I hear it coming out of you, even if you don't feel it so much, you know. So it's powerful. It's powerful. So we're talking about getting ready, and you know what this step says, we were entirely ready, basically ready for a change, you know, and we don't have to talk about character defects and all that kind of stuff, but we're ready to have something pull away from us that's going to leave a hole, and are we really ready, you know? And now we're talking about grieving the thing that's been taken away, you know, and there is a hole. I spoke on earlier programs about, my thing was also always anger. That's every emotion, given a couple of seconds would turn to anger, you know, and it all came from, you know, just somebody said something that gave me a physical feeling in the gut, and from that emotion would immediately start, but it would turn to anger, you know, and so I just looked angry a lot of the time, and in essence, I was frightened. I was, didn't know what to do, where to turn, and anger would be my way out. I would get angry and louder and more pushy and stuff, and that would generally end the situation for me, because either the other side, the other party, the other people wouldn't want to be around someone who looked like they were kind of losing it, or they were just uncomfortable, and things went away, and I controlled my life through fake anger. I wasn't even angry. I was just hurt all the time, you know, hurt and frightened. And, you know, it took me a lot of years to realize that, but I don't mind saying that today, you know, that, when someone says something, I say, you know, especially somebody close to me, somebody that I love, I don't mind telling them that, this hurts when you say stuff like that, you know, like it hurts me. Yeah. I'm a man and, you know, and I used to fight and all these things, but I'm, really, you know, don't ever take the little boy away from me, because it's all I got. You know, I have some people say, no, you got to stop fooling around, but no. You know, I mean, I want to grow up and be successful in life, but I want that little boy too, and I ain't going to let him go. What do you think of that? I've only given you 95 subjects there to comment on, but
that's a lot.
So ready. I mean, you know, what does that mean to you? Being ready to live a different life, you know,
like, ready really. To move on in life.
Yeah. But do you ever move on? You know.
Yes, you do move on. I mean, to a certain extent, we have to move on in life. I have to move on in life because I had come to a full stop.
Mm-hmm.
Where I didn't care about life anymore.
Yeah.
All I thought was about my satisfaction, my peace, and that peace I found, I thought, mm-hmm. or my solutions, my problems, was in the bottle. But the day I picked up and I became an alcoholic, that's mm-hmm. where my life stopped evolving.
You know, when you think back to, like, when you first got married, this just hit me, by the way. I sometimes like to think out loud, and I talk my thoughts, but when you first got married, and I'll try and think of this from my own situation, you know, was that another thing that seemed like it would kind of accomplish our needs, you know, like whatever they were, you know, like at that time, you know, and was it the same in a sense as turning to the bottle or turning to a substance or, you know, sexual exploits or eating or whatever the addictive area seems to be? I'm thinking now, like, maybe that's what it is, you know, like all the way along. And of course that poor female, whoever she happened to be and whatever we may think of her, how could she possibly fulfill that? You know, when only, you know, no matter how we believe, even if we don't believe, you know, whatever put us together is probably the only thing that's going to be able to correct us, you know, and you can call that creator, you can call it, you know, you can call it Mother Earth, the universe, whatever you want. It doesn't matter to me, but, you know, something must have had something to do with it. And I just don't measure up to that, and I don't think I ever can, but I think I'll feel better if I go over here for a while. Maybe that's a marriage, or maybe I'll go over here for a while. That's religiosity, and maybe I'll go over here and have a couple of drinks. Maybe I'll have a couple more. Maybe I'll have a couple more, and or maybe I'll go back to religiosity. And the first thing I know, I'm standing on street corners, and I know everything about God and what everybody in the world should do, you know, and I've got the religiosity addiction, if you want, or I went over there and I stayed with the drinks to do it, you know, or I stayed with the marriage. I don't know. Have you ever gone that route?
It's
your head.
Funny. It's funny that you had to mention about marriage, because from what I see is when people have get into a relationship or they want to get married, they think that, you know, everything is going to be just fine and dandy. Well, then it's for a big surprise. it's nothing to do with the woman, your wife or your ex, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, they say, oh, you complete me.
Yeah.
That's not true. Because, yes, you to a certain extent, yes, you both need each other to go on in life, but you cannot use her as an excuse or him as an excuse to continue in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you're being then codependent on each other.
Yeah.
And that starts to create a lot of problems in the relationship.
Yeah.
You have to learn to love your own existence.
Yeah.
And I think that boils down to what you were mentioning earlier on hope and faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's where people tend to lose track on that.
Yeah.
They just decide to rely on each other rather than, you know, go to the spiritual way, because sometimes you need that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when you get married in church, you're not saying vows from some other book, you're talking about the Bible.
Yeah.
Right? They'll let do us apart. But mm-hmm. then somewhere along the road, down the road, we all forget those words that we had mentioned.
Yeah.
When you look at the contents of those words today, they actually mean a lot.
Oh, yeah. The vows, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's not for a reason that God put those words in the Bible, or why mm-hmm. Why we got married under those vows. Yeah. Yeah. There is a point to all of these things. It's just mm-hmm. that you get so lost as a couple in life mm-hmm. that you're trying to play catch up with your emotions and your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And all these aspects just get thrown away on the side
yeah.
of the road as you're moving along.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, 5 years, 10 years down the road, you turn back and you look at life and he says, where did we lose it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not easy that you get into a relationship and then you say, oh, everything is going to be fine. There is a work, it's work to be done. It's like in everyday life. When you work, you have to, if you ever go up in life, you have to work for it. It's just not going to, a promotion is just not going to fall into your lap.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing if you want to make marriage work. There has to be a lot of faith and hope in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because without that, it does not work.
Yeah.
And you have to have, I mean, people might not be Christian, I mean, spiritually strong, but for me, yes, I think it's a very, very important aspect of making a relationship work these days.
Yeah. And, you know, we become so dependent, you know, we build little dependencies on this other half of our marriage too, don't we? You know, and when these people don't fulfill whatever that, those dependencies were in our head, we probably get angry, you know, and if we get angry, then we probably frighten the women. I mean, that's usually the case, and so on. And we know the rest of the story, but I think it all boils down to, and I've heard this many times now, is, we each need our program for life individually as well as together. So for those who choose to, you know, as scripture says, to become one in a marriage, well, that's a program in and of itself, you know, and there's actually programs out there for that now, recovering couples and so on, but, and not necessarily addictions there, folks, just, couples that want to get along together better, but each has to be strong in his or her own self, you know, and be able to survive life quite well on their own, I think, to then come together healthily. Otherwise, if we come together in a way that, you know, okay, your strength will take my weakness and my strength will take your weakness, well, that's great, but that doesn't work, you know. I mean, we can complement each other. That's wonderful, you know. And if you're strong in that area and I'm weak, I'll say, okay, Raj, we're going to go do this thing. You should grab the helm here because you're better at this stuff than I am, and vice versa. But if you can't be reasonable and you can just build dependencies on other human beings to cover my weakness, then I'm setting off in a bad, bad, direction right from day one. Isn't that what happens, though?
It does happen, yeah. That's very true.
Jeez. Well, we're becoming really smart here, aren't we?
I guess so.
Anyway, I think, Jay, you better take us from 102.9 FM in Stouffville for a minute and maybe play a song or whatever you think is good.
Maybe let's play some Cherry Clark here, Northern Girl.